You're listening to the podcast of Hillside Christian Fellowship. Hillside is a community of believers in Millersburg, Pennsylvania. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by this week's message.
We're talking about spiritual authority today. And I want to share a few things about the nature of spiritual authority. Oh, I'm supposed to remind you about the summer picnic. I'm glad you put that slide up there. Sunday, August 25th, we're having our end of the summer picnic. It'll be at, where are we going to be again? At the Hoffman's House, that's right. So that's in Halifax, easy to get to. And we'll be providing the basic meats and stuff like that to eat. Oh, by the way, there's a plug, they didn't pay me to do this. New restaurant opening up in the former Amped shop. It's going to be a smokehouse and creamery, so homemade ice cream and smoked goods, like meats and more meat, and probably be smoked meat on the menu. But they're going to cook for us that day and give us a sampling of what they're going to be making there. They'll be right down the hill, so you'll know exactly where it is. I'm salivating just thinking about it. It's going to be phenomenal. But anyway, sign up in the lobby to bring a side or things like that. We're going to play games. We'll have the big water slide out. We'll have the bounce house and... They are making smoked mac and cheese. Yeah, don't bring mac and cheese for a side. All right, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but their smoked mac and cheese is going to be... Yeah, we don't need any more mac and cheese. They're going to provide that. Thank you for a side. So no mac and cheese, just anything but mac and cheese for a side. All right. Okay, so spiritual authority. We're talking about overall just what it means to bring the kingdom of heaven into the earth. That our purpose here now is to finish the work that Jesus began. When he came preaching, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, for 2,000 years, his body in the earth has been finishing what he started. And he remains, that the heavens will retain him until the time of the restoration of all things. So the restoration of all things is what we get to do. Isn't that awesome? Come on. Well, it would be if we had a vision, if we'd capture heaven's vision of what this place is supposed to be like, we'd be all jacked up about this. Because everything that brings depression, anxiety, fear, and hurt, all that kind of thing, imagine all of that gone. Pick your top 10 list of everything you hate about life the way it is right now. It's gone. But here's the shift of gears that God's put in us, is that we're not waiting for Jesus to come back and save the day. Like getting saved just means I got my ticket, I'm waiting for the bus. That's not what this is about. We get to be the agency through which God works. We wrecked paradise in the garden. Now we get to restore paradise in the earth as we co-labor with him. And that's what this whole kingdom thing's about. Otherwise, we may as well, as we say, just, you know, when you get baptized into Christ, just stay under. It's like hold him under and then you go on and you don't have to mess around here anymore. We have a purpose, and each of us individually has places that God sends us to, and our responsibility in that place is to bring the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? Wherever there is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, that's where the kingdom has come. So that's all we're responsible to do. We steward the kingdom first on the inside till we have Christ really seated, where he actually has rule over our lives and we're working together with him. Although he's our friend, he's still the Lord and God of the universe. And we're best letting him sit in the driver's seat. Like I said, there's a great bumper sticker. It said, if Jesus is your co-pilot, switch seats. Right? He's not along for the ride. He's driving this thing. And we're happy to let him drive, because I don't know about you, but I've wrecked enough times driving myself. Maybe you're not with me in that, because, right? So this is what it's about. So we want to talk about spiritual authority, because we have been called already to rule and reign in the earth, right? We saw that, Revelation 5, he made them to be a kingdom of priests, and they will rule in the earth. How do we rule in the earth? That's what we want to look at. What does that look like? Because there have been some wrong ways that we've tried to rule in the earth. Remember that whole Roman Catholic Middle Ages disaster? 1,000 years of dark ages because we got this one wrong. So we're going to get right this time. The whole idea of having dominion in the earth, spiritual authority, is not to rule over other sons and daughters of Adam. That's not the purpose of it. It's to trample the real enemy underfoot so he has no more influence over the sons and daughters of Adam. Does that make sense? So I'm kind of packaging it. That's where we're going. So spiritual authority is what we're talking about, and it has little, sometimes absolutely nothing to do with positional authority. Let me explain what I mean by that. Spiritual authority we're going to break down today. That's authority that begins and has influence in the spiritual realm. Everything about life, the way God created it, is governed from the spiritual realm. So a week or two from now, we'll talk about principalities and powers and rulers in the heavenly places, right? You already know that in Ephesians 5 or 6. So you already know that that exists. Spiritual authority is for that realm. Spiritual authority, when operated incorrectly, ruling in that realm, influences everything that happens in the visible realm. Positional authority means you actually have a title or an office. So if you're a governor, if you're a boss, if you're a parent, if you are a supervisor of any sort, if you're in the military and you have rank, you have positional authority. Positional authority means you must obey that person, right? Try not obeying your boss one day, see how it goes for you. Try not obeying your sergeant if you're in the army, see how that goes for you and tell the story. If you don't obey the guards at the prison, see how that goes for you. There is positional authority, but I want to differentiate those two, because you can have spiritual authority to totally dominate the atmosphere of every place you go and occupy nothing of a position that has a title to it. The two are sometimes connected. Ideally, what we want are people in positional authority who have risen to high levels of spiritual authority, because it means they've learned how to be, as we looked at last time, servants of all. Who do you want in the highest positions where they're actually going to be governing, writing laws, and enforcing those laws with the rule of arms? You want people who have a total love servant mindset. That's what the government shall be upon whose shoulders? Jesus' shoulders. You know why? Because he uses his shoulders to lift us up back into who God made us to be. That's what we mean. So I want to make sure that we understand what we're talking about today. Anytime we reference spiritual authority, has nothing to do with telling other people what to do. It's been misused that way. So title and offices, you don't have to have those to exercise it. What's spiritual authority for? It's for manifesting heaven's atmosphere within our territory. That's why it's got to begin in here. You can't build something or impart something on the outside that isn't already going on the inside. So the first kingdom that's got to be conquered happens right in here. Till Jesus is actually sitting on the throne of our heart, we'll find that even if we get position and title, we're not going to exercise any genuine spiritual authority. We may get to tell people what to do, but the kingdom's not advancing in that thing. There have been a lot of successful governments, there have been a lot of successful movements, businesses, school, all kinds of things that have moved ahead in terms of positional authority, that have done great things in the world, but it hasn't advanced the kingdom of heaven. If anything, it becomes a resistor to the kingdom of heaven. Like Jesus said, he who isn't with me is against me. He who doesn't gather with me is scattering. So if we're not operating in spiritual authority, even though on the outside it may look like we're doing great things, we're not advancing heaven into the earth. We're not becoming the answer to the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what we do with spiritual authority is we create an atmosphere around us. We carry his presence into places, which brings the righteousness, the peace, and the joy. You start experiencing things like I did when I was with the moving company. I was sitting in the truck with this guy. I won't name him. Well, like anybody even knows who he is anyway. It was like 30 years ago. And I was sitting in the truck, and this guy had like a foul mouth like a sailor. Sorry to all the Navy people out there, but man, it is legit. My uncle was in the Navy, and it's legit. Anyway, he swore like that up and down. I sat in the truck with him one day. He started telling me a story. He started cussing. All of a sudden, I'm sorry. So what are you sorry for? I know I shouldn't talk like that. I never said, hey man, my virgin ears can't handle that kind of language. I'm from New York City. Like, yeah, I haven't heard that and worse before. But there was something about the presence I was carrying. I never said, please don't swear in front of me. But he all of a sudden experienced, there is righteousness in this car right now, or in this truck right now. You're around people that are freaking out, and all of a sudden you walk in the room and sit down and like, oh, I feel all right now. You know, I feel like everything's going to be all right. Why? Because you just carried the peace of the Prince of Peace into the room. They may not understand it, but the spirit of the atmosphere was influenced because you walked in. You getting the picture? This is how spiritual authority works. We bring his presence, and it brings all the fruits of the kingdom, the righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Spirit. So spiritual authority is based on permission. You cannot exercise spiritual authority over another person who doesn't grant you authority to speak into their lives. You've all tried it with your husbands and wives, right? You like, we're going to get married now, and I'm going to be working on you, and you're going to love what you look like when I get through with you, right? Well, don't look at me like that. Everybody's done that. I'm going to change you into my image because I just want another version of me in this relationship. Everything that's awesome and glorious about me, you're going to be that. You're going to love what you look like when I'm finished with you. It has nothing to do with control. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. See, some folks got that wrong and they missed the self part. The fruit of the Spirit's not control. It's based on permission. Unless I grant you authority in my territory, in my sphere. Remember, we talked about spheres. Unless I give you permission to sow into my field, then you are trespassing. And I don't think it should be like trespassers may be shot. But you are not permitted to sow into the field of another without their permission. Try it with one of the farmers in the area. If I go over to the spots and say, you know what, your strawberries are great, but I think you need to grow raspberries over here instead of strawberries. They just boot me off their property and say, city boy, you got no clue. This is a strawberry farm. You can't plant that thing in here. Why? Because their territory. They're responsible for it. They have a love for it, to cultivate it, to keep it, and nobody else has authority without permission. So this is when you're ministering to somebody, here's how it works. You cannot actually affect things in the spirit unless that person gives you permission to do so. We've all sat there with somebody and tried to give them good advice, right? I'm going to open up the Bible. I will speak the truth to you. Take two gospels and call me in the morning, right? But they haven't asked for advice. They haven't invited in. They haven't actually come to a place of saying, I need what you have to offer. Come on and sow into my field. You try to give that unsolicited advice to somebody. Come on, what parents haven't tried this with our old kids? Right? And they might be nodding their head and all that, but they ain't hearing a dang thing. Because we came in without invitation. Spiritual authority comes by permission, and it's based on love. It's based on a two-way street of love. How does the door open to sow into somebody's life? Because you've demonstrated love for them. You've demonstrated, I am for you and not against you. I'm not up here on some spiritual high horse telling you this, you know, I'm up here and you're down there and I'm going to tell you how to live your life. No, I've been down here serving you. I've been down here cultivating and loving on you. And because of that, I've gained a trust in you, and you've invited me now to come and speak into your situation. But most of us have testimonies of that with our neighbors and co-workers, that over the course of time, people start seeking us out. Why? Because we've demonstrated consistent love and unfailing love. Most of the testimonies I'd propose probably come from people who are really belligerent, really hard to work with. Like that dude in the next cubicle who listens to rap music all day or whatever. You know, just people that are hard to be with. That consistent love softens the heart to where the invitation comes. Right? The best line that the apostles ever heard, what must we do to be saved? Why? Usually because God just did some kind of miracle and met a need, poured out his love on a group of people, and they said, ooh, that's what God's like? The gods we worship, they punish us all the time. They rule by fear. But this God, man, we did nothing to deserve this, and he just came and healed that lame dude over there? What do we have to do to be saved and know this God? That's how spiritual authority works. It governs by influence. So until we've got a place in someone's heart, until we've manifested something where folks come and say, tell me about your God, then we're not yet exercising spiritual authority. We've tried to do it so many other ways. Haven't we tried to scare the bejeebies out of people? Let's scare the hell out of people. That's an actual class in some seminaries, I think. How to scare the hell out of somebody. Judging by some messages I heard, I don't know. It seems like, man, here's how you deliver a good hellfire and brimstone message until people are shaken and they get saved for the 25th time that year. By the time you're done, and that is not the gospel. That's not good news. You got to get to the good news part. That's what we're here to preach. We govern by influence, not by control, whose tools are fear, manipulation, intimidation, right? Those are the tools of control. I may not have the force of arms behind me, but I have the force of the silent treatment. I'll make you pay for what you did by not talking to you for the next month, right? Those are the tools of control and manipulation. I know I'm staying within the barrier of relationships here, but you know how it works. On the workplace, there are certain supervisors who you just don't want to cross them. You don't want to be on their bad side. That's not spiritual authority. You may get away with it if you hold a position of authority because you're occupying a place where you have the ability to punish somebody. But we don't operate in fear. We operate in love. Fear, perfect love, casts out fear. Why? Because fear involves punishment. What am I afraid of? You're going to punish me if I don't obey you. That's not spiritual authority. So control is not one of its tools. Here's how it works. As our love increases, our authority increases with it. Similarly, when our love diminishes, our authority diminishes with it. So here is how Paul operated in spiritual authority with the Corinthians. We have two of the three longest letters in the New Testament written to one church. And one of the biggest crises in that church was that they were severing their relationship with Paul in favor of people that had a greater healing anointing or a greater ability to preach. They were starting to actually think, you know, maybe we don't need Paul anymore. Paul had invested his life into this church, spent a year and a half with them, planted the church there. They were only in Christ because of Paul's ministry, and he wrote to them as a father. And here in 2 Corinthians, he gets down to the heart of exactly what spiritual authority is about. So in appeal to them, he writes to them, he said, "Our mouth has spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is opened wide." This is why we're speaking to you. Our heart's always wide open towards you. We have never been against you. We're not even angry with you right now, even though you're rejecting us. Our heart's wide open towards you. And you're not restrained by us. The only thing restraining you is your own affections. The reason why we have authority to speak into your life is because you love us. That's the only thing constraining you. There's no shackles that we've imposed on you. It's the love. I'm reminding you about the love in your heart. That's what joins us together. That's why I have authority to speak to you, because we have this love relationship. That's how all relationships work. As soon as love has been violated, when there's been something that's come between and created a rift, we no longer have authority. Every parent's experienced this with our children. When we blow it and we, you know, whatever, have an outburst of anger, or we treat them in a certain way, and we find that all of a sudden they don't want to listen to us anymore. We violated love. How do we get that back? We bring our love back. We're restrained by our affections for one another. Now, in the like exchange, I speak to you as children, open wide to us. Open your heart back to us again. We're not going to try to feed you unless your mouth is wide open. How many of you have tried to feed a baby? Right? You like me? Like Ben? Got zero morsels of food in his mouth first time I tried to feed him. My wife's a natural. She's like hopped right in and she's getting every mouthful in. I tried to feed Ben. He's got all green in his eye and all over. Not a single mouthful went in because I tried to feed him till his mouth was. I was like, "You are going to eat. I'm going to do it just like my wife." And you can't force feed them. I learned the trick. And this is a tool for teaching. All of you are called to teach, which is everybody. This is it. If I made him laugh, he opened his mouth up. Then you put the food in real quick. So when you're laughing, your mouth's open wide. That's another thing entirely. Open wide to us also. So we're talking about spiritual authority because it's the highest form of authority. When we have spiritual authority in the earth, that's the thing that produces changes that last generations. That's the thing that actually converts people from the inside out. We're not conforming to positional authority. We're not obeying because we have to, which means as soon as the source of fear is taken away, I'm no longer obeying you. I'm not following you any longer. That invading army came and we did whatever they wanted to, but when they got driven out, see if you ever get to tell me what to do again. That's the weakness of all other kinds of authority. Spiritual authority goes deep into the inner man. When we're exercising genuine spiritual authority, it lasts because everything proceeds from heavenly places. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. So all authority comes from God. The spirit realm is where all authority originates. So it comes from the spirit realm into the natural created order. So all saints, here's a reality of authority. Every last one of us has positional authority over the demonic realm. He has given all things to Jesus, who is the head of the church, all things under his feet, to the church, who is the head, which is Christ, who fills all in all. So if you think you're the least in the body of Christ, every demon is still under your foot. You might think, man, I'm the undersoul of the heel of the body of Christ. Well, the enemy's still under your foot. He's still under you. Positionally, God has all authority has been given to Jesus and his body, the church. So any demon that's messing around with your life, you already have authority over it. This is one of these things in deliverance ministry that's a really important thing. I'm working on having somebody come in to do some teaching and training in deliverance ministry. What it means to be freed from demonic oppression. I'm not going to get into are you possessed, oppressed, or repressed, or whatever it is. Doesn't matter. If demons messing up your life, you have authority over it. You have the authority to say enough with that. First, to determine, did I open the door for this somehow? And 9 times out of 10, you haven't. Then it's like, what are you doing in my house? I got a shotgun and I'm not afraid to use it. That's our authority over the demonic realm. Enforcing our positional authority over demons is completely dependent on how we've stewarded our spiritual authority. So for example, if in our authority over our own selves, we've permitted certain sin into our lives. We engage in a practice of sin, secret or out there. And we just kind of make a peace treaty with it. Well, I'm an angry person, I'm always going to be an angry person. Or I'm a lustful man, I'm always going to be a lustful man. And we indulge certain things. What we've done is open the door. They can't come in without invitation, but if we open the door, they're happy to come in. The demonic realm is happy to influence a saint as much as we'll allow them to. When we allow that, when we do as Adam and Eve did, Satan could not take over the garden. He had to come in by invitation. Adam and Eve did, and he took rule in that place. So when we allow them in, we are giving them, they're borrowing our authority to rule over our lives. The good news is, there's a one-word answer to that. Repent. See, like how I said it like that? I didn't say, repent! Because you don't have to. Shouting has nothing to do with authority. In fact, you remember the teacher that you had? And our fourth grade teacher, Ms. Opitz. New York City, 36 student classroom. She was by herself with us all day. God bless her. I've repented so many times for what we did to Ms. Opitz. If we could get her screaming on one of the chairs in the classroom, bam, we did it. It became like a challenge. Can we get her to shout and scream? As soon as we feel like we got to get loud and scream and bang our fist, the tools of the kingdom of darkness did not displace the kingdom of darkness. We can't use the same way that the kingdom of darkness operates, even to displace the kingdom of darkness. As soon as we start using his tools, manipulation, control, anger, whatever, fear, as soon as we start using those tools, he's already won. The devil can handle a civil war. He doesn't care who's fighting against whom, long as the kingdom of God's not being established. So when we steward our spiritual authority, we're able to maintain our position of authority. So that thought that runs through the mind, right? That fear-filled, anxious, I can't do that, even though God said I should. I'm afraid to step out and do that, even though I know it'll benefit me. I'm too depressed to go ahead and, you know, show my face among that group. All of those things that go around in our brain. If we have been faithful to steward our individual spiritual authority, it just takes a word. Just a word. And all of a sudden, darkness has got to flee. Here's what it looked like in Jesus' life. He came to the Gennesarenes region. This story is in all three of the synoptic gospels because it was such an impactful thing. So there was this man, he actually had a friend too, the other gospels record, there were two of them, but this one in particular got Jesus' attention. So there's this man, he's demonized, he's got like 1,000 demons in him. And he saw Jesus, and he cried out and fell before him and said in a loud voice. Wasn't it just an awesome thing that the spiritual realm, the demons in this man recognized the Son of God when even his own disciples didn't know who he was yet? That's spiritual authority. Jesus walked in it. They recognized him. They said, what business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torment me. Wouldn't it be awesome if demons were begging for mercy when we walked into the room? The thing that's oppressing that one you love, the thing that's oppressing your coworker that makes him so mean to you, what if you walked in and they were begging you, hey, could you tone it down a little bit? You're scaring me. That's spiritual authority. This is what Jesus walked in. I beg you, don't torment me. So he goes on and Jesus asked him, what's your name? Which, by the way, if you've had any experience in deliverance ministry, you don't need to know some demon's name to cast it out. Based on this one line right here, entire deliverance ministries have said, you got to find out the name of that demon. And once you find out the name of that demon, now you have authority over it. Man, you don't already had authority over it. I think Jesus was just drawing out from this man who was tormented by it. Hey, what's going on? Tell me your name. He said, Legion. For many demons had entered him. This dude, whatever he did, he just opened the door wide for hell to come and invade and live in his heart. And that's the only way that it can happen. So they were then imploring Jesus. The demons were begging, don't make us go away into the abyss. So they were begging him for mercy. So the point is, spiritual authority is first recognized in the unseen realm. So when we're talking about principalities and powers, the only reason why they have authority, if darkness rules over a region, it's because they recognize that they've got a wide open door of invitation in that place. More about how to displace those principalities and powers later on. I'm talking about demonic influence in individual lives right now, starting with our own. They are programmed to operate within parameters of authority. So they know that they can't actually take authority in some place that they haven't been given freely that authority. So what we want to do first, in terms of stewarding our own heart, is learn how to say no. And here's the simple formula. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Now, we usually miss part one, and we say, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you, right? Which speaks, and it kind of gets this feeling like, man, if I just, I'm going to fight really hard, I'm not going to do it. And then we do it, right? You've all tried that route? That's not how it works. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Living this lifestyle of submission, a soft heart toward God, when he can just whisper and we instantly respond to his voice. And because we've been listening and living in response to his voice, we can spot a fake counterfeit voice from a mile away. Hey, that doesn't sound like my father. He would never say that to me. He would never tell me that I am a sinner, or he would never tell me I'm a failure or an idiot. My father would never say that to me. So that can't be, that's the wrong voice. Somebody turn the volume down, mute button on that voice. So they operate within parameters of authority. From a place of authority, a saint who's operating in spiritual authority can displace darkness with light. That's pretty much what we do. We overcome evil. I know you know the rest of the verse. With good. We do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Tools of the kingdom of light. Tools of love. Whatever. So if there's fear operating, we displace that with courage. If there's fear, if there's anxiety operating, we displace that with the spirit that God's given us of a sound mind. We displace it with the opposite spirit. So we make it easy for people to see the Lord. The ultimate way of knowing that a church, an individual, or a gathering of saints in the region has really begun to operate in true spiritual authority is that it's easy for people to see the Lord. That's what happened with this guy. This demon-possessed man. Jesus came, he set him free. All of a sudden, he's in his clothes, he's in his right mind, and he wants to be a disciple. Why? Because Jesus came in with his spiritual authority. You know, he never even cast the demons out. He didn't come and tell the demons, you got to leave right now because I'm here. They're just saying, all right, we know, where are we going? You know, he didn't even have to command the word. They just knew, that's it, our jig is up. We're out of town. Jesus is here. We're done. Well, can we go over here? That's all that happened with that. So when we operate in spiritual authority like Jesus did, darkness just gets displaced without us even trying to do it. Now, I'm not suggesting that there aren't moments, there aren't ministries, there aren't things that we do practically to displace it. I'm talking about just the presence that we carry and the authority that we've been invested with. It just drives out darkness wherever we go. That's the fruits of it. So authority, just like everything else in the kingdom, increases as we steward it, as we take care of whatever sphere. This is that garden picture again. Take care of the garden of our heart. We get a little bit more. Take care of that garden till we cultivate and keep it and it's bearing fruit. Then we're expanding and we get more. This is the ever-expanding kingdom. Of the increase of his government and of his peace, there's going to be no end. This is how it works. So we steward it well. We get into a place where we steward the authority we've been given. Then God says, you're ready for more. Not like a test. Oh, you failed that one. Back around the mountain again. Don't work like that. It just means you got to grow up a little bit. I've given the picture before of one of my little kids here and I put a suit jacket on him. I can't use this image anymore because I never wear a suit jacket. I went out in my suit the other day for Dale's dad's funeral and my neighbor said, who died? I was like, oh man. He saw me wearing a suit. I put the suit jacket on a five-year-old and he's just not big enough for it yet. Every bit my son or daughter. 100% to the core. But you're just not big enough to wear this garment yet. You're not big enough for the mantle. It's not that you failed. You just got to grow up a little bit more. That's all. Be patient. Keep eating the right things. Stay healthy. Stay strong. And eventually you're going to be big enough to wear this. That's the nature of spiritual authority. We grow up into it because he wants us to rule and reign in the earth. He wants his people to be the primary influencers of culture. No more of the garbage music that fills the minds of young people. No more of the garbage movies and entertainment things and all the bad role models we have. No more of that influencing. The saints of God now influencing. The saints of God being the ones that everybody says, oh, I wish I could be like that. Oh, I wish I could meet so-and-so one day. That's God's intent in the earth, to glorify us so that we could glorify him. So here's the, I'm just going to close with this and I'll be brief because it's a simple point. This is how it begins. This is kind of our homework assignment for the week right here. So Jesus came to Capernaum and a centurion came to him imploring him. He said, Lord, my servant's lying at home paralyzed. He's fearfully tormented. So there's some kind of demonic oppression going on here. He's tormented. Jesus said to him, oh, I'll come and heal him. And here's one of two moments in the Gospels where it's recorded that Jesus was amazed at somebody's faith. They were both Gentiles, amazingly. And he said, the centurion said, oh, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. So somehow he'd been watching Jesus. He'd been seeing his ministry, hearing his miracles. Jesus spent a good deal of time around Capernaum. This centurion knew him well, knew exactly who Jesus was, knew what he was about, probably heard him preach. He might have been there for the Sermon on the Mount, for all they know, which wasn't far from here. So, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And I'll bet that got Jesus' attention. Because among the people of God, he was used to a different response. But this centurion, and then he goes in, here's the revelation this centurion had. For I also am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I say to this one, go and he goes. I say to another one, come and he comes. I say to this one, do this, and he does it. I say, jump, and they say, how high? So he's speaking about, I'm a man who exercises authority. But did you catch what he said? I also am a man under authority. I'm a man under authority. And that's why I exercise such authority. In other words, this man, such a military man, understand authority. Centurion has about 100 soldiers under his watch. A legion commander would have several centurions with their troops under them. And there's a structure in the army, just like we have today, all the way leading up to the emperor himself. So although a centurion only commands 100 soldiers, he speaks with the authority of the empire. So if you don't obey that centurion, if he says jump and you don't say how high, you just cross the emperor and the entire Roman army. That's the nature of authority. That's how it works in the spirit realm. Each of us, though we're individual people, on our own, doesn't seem like we command a whole lot of authority. We're little compared to the forces of darkness that we're up against. But when we stay within the parameters of spiritual authority, stay within the governing authorities that we're under, our word carries the entire weight of heaven with it. That's the revelation this centurion had. If that centurion would take his 100 men and go off on his own campaign someplace, he doesn't have the blessing of the emperor behind it. He doesn't have the backing of the army. If he's off in rebellion, he'll probably get squished by the rest of the army. That is not his thing. He doesn't command it on his own. He's submitted to authority. That's why he can exercise authority. So the path to authority is filled with submission. That's why Jesus said, man, I haven't found such faith in all Israel. I'm telling you, there are going to be people coming from everywhere who are like this, who get it when it comes to authority. So spiritual authority increases as we walk in deeper intimacy with the Father. Why did Jesus never fail to cast out a demon, even if it was across town? Because he walked in unbroken fellowship with the Father. He was always about his Father's business. He was always willing to submit his life, right? Philippians 2, we looked at last time. He was willing to obey, become a servant, suffer and die, even the death of a cross. He never once crossed his Father's will. Not that he never questioned it, right? You know about Gethsemane, he asked three times, you sure this is the thing? But he always said, not my will, but your will be done. That's the path to spiritual authority. Submission is the path to authority. The more we're willing to submit, the quicker. How many of you know a great soldier is the one who learns how to instantly obey his commander? He doesn't question orders. You question orders out in the middle of a battle, and you could have just done in your entire platoon. Instant obedience, instant response. For us, we don't respond in obedience to the Father because we're afraid of being punished. We respond instantly in obedience to the Father because we love him, because we trust him, because we've got a track record with him that says, man, every time I do it your way, it turns out awesome. Might be a little scary and hairy along the way. Might be involving some bumps and warfare along the way, but you always land the plane. The Father always knows how to do it right. And so because we've walked with him, we've grown in trust with him, we immediately respond to him. We respond to his agenda because we know his agenda. That's the path to genuine spiritual authority. A rebellious person, somebody who cannot, who is always self-willed, always going to do your own thing, marching to the beat of our own drum, that kind of person is never going to exercise actual spiritual authority. May have a lot of words to say, may have some positional authority, but will never operate in true, really powerful spiritual authority because it comes through submission. That was the centurion's revelation. You are powerful because you always submit yourself to your authority. So that's how we come into it. That's how Jesus came into it. The more submitted we are, the greater the authority we bear. It begins practically with all the authorities in our lives, obeying our positional authorities. Daniel is a great example. He's my favorite one. Joseph be another good one. We got a bunch of great examples in the scriptures. Daniel's my favorite because this dude survived four administrations of demonic kings who thought that they were God incarnate. From Babylon, Medea, he lasted all the empires out. And he always maintained his position as a trusted right-hand man. Because the wisdom of God just flowed through him, interpreting dreams. Oh, he got thrown into a lion's den here and there. You know, he had some bad days in the middle, but he always maintained that position. Why? Because he submitted himself to God. He was willing to die rather than eat non-kosher food. He would rather be put to death in a lion's den than to fail to pray every morning. You know, when the command came out, hey, everybody, you know, you can't pray to this God. You know what Daniel did? He done opened his windows wide so everybody could see him doing it. I defy you to stop me from obeying my authority. Because when I'm totally submitted to that spiritual authority, I am the one that the kings always look to when times get tough. When they're losing sleep over a dream, I'm always going to end up the right-hand man. Because spiritual, I'm going to talk about this in a week or two about how promotion comes from the Lord, the principles of promotion. How do we posture ourselves in such a way that God can keep trusting us with more and more spiritual authority for the purpose of love, for the purpose of building people up? So Daniel did it that way, but he always also submitted himself to the positional authority in his life. This is where it gets hard for Americans. The land of the free. The land that was actually founded in rebellion. I get in a lot of trouble for saying this, but the truth is, our nation was established in rebellion. Sorry, it's true. You could agree with the Declaration of Independence if you want and say, yeah, everything in there makes sense to me, and boy, am I glad we're not under the King of England anymore. But it was rebellion. And a lot of the fruits of what we still experience in the nation today are because we were founded in rebellion. Anyway, that's a soapbox. I'm going to get off that real quick. I forgot why I was even saying that now. Anyway, because, so what was that?
The land of the free.
The land of the free. Yeah, before that, I lost track. That was, maybe I shouldn't have followed that rabbit off on there. Anyhow, so learning how to live a life of submission, learning how to actually honor positional authority over our lives, learning how to live that way. It's easier said than done. Oh, that's what I was saying. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That God's authority is invested in human beings who occupy positions of authority. The only line that there is in the scriptures, as said by the apostles, is choose for us whether we should obey God or men. So if somebody in positional authority of our in our lives commands us to sin against God, that's a line. That is the only line given. That we're permitted to disobey authority, disobey laws, is when they cause us to sin. Other than that, as we submit ourselves to all of the actual positional authority in our lives, parents, teachers, bosses, government officials, judges, whoever it is, police officers, anybody who occupies an actual place of positional authority, that's how we demonstrate our submission to God. Because it's easy to say, well, I just obey God. You can say, I obey God, and be totally rebellious at the same time. Because all authority is God-given. So in the first century, when Nero was on the throne, honor the king. What? Either you had Herod, who's this crazy, demonized, carnal, you know, beast of a man, or Emperor Nero, who was, for all intents and purposes, the devil incarnate. Honor the king. Honor the king anyway. So no matter who's in the Oval Office, honor the king. No matter who occupies the position, the principal of your school, the CEO of your corporation, whoever it is, honor that authority. God will show a way to be like Daniel, who so honored the authorities in his life. Again, demonized kings who thought they were God. He so honored them, God honored him and exalted him every time to be the right-hand man to some of the most demonized people who have ever walked the earth, even to the point of giving Daniel a genuine love for them, to where Daniel wept when God's judgment was going to come Nebuchadnezzar's way. He can do that for us. We can submit ourselves to God and still honor the authorities in our lives. So long as they don't require us to sin, we can still submit ourselves to them. That's how we walk this out. The more submitted we are, submission's a posture that says, I am subject to your mission. I am here to serve you and help your mission succeed. So you can go to your supervisor with that mindset now. I am here to make sure that your mission succeeds. What's your mission? Tell me how I can make this plan a success. I am here to serve. And by the way, you now have an unfair advantage over your competitors because the Son of God's here. I have supernatural insight into things because I care about your mission. I am submitted. So whatever corporation you work for, go in with that mindset. I am subject to this mission, and I'm going to make it a success. If you're like working for something where you don't agree with the mission, like it's doing some kind of demonic purpose, then I would suggest you get out and don't minister to that. Don't build up a something that's going to actually interfere with God. That's another subject. But be subject to the mission. You're a young person. You still live in your household. Try asking your parents instead of always resisting them. Try saying, what do I need to do to make this family a more peaceful place, a more joyful place? What can I do to make this family a place that all of us want to live in instead of always blaming you for, man, I'm going to do my chores. You're going to tell me what to do. You're never going to walk in spiritual authority with that attitude. See, all the parents are really excited and all the youth are glaring at me right now. This is the path to greatness. This is the path to authority, submission. So God, help us to see the areas in our lives where we can be more fully submitted to God, to trust you, to be even be able to submit to authorities we don't agree with, to authorities that are hard to submit to demonstrate our love for you by submitting in everything, even being subject to those who are not godly. Help us to walk in such authority in the spirit that the atmosphere changes everywhere we go. I pray that this will happen in the week. In fact, I bless this gathering of saints with this, that you're going to find people coming to you and repenting of things that they've done to wrong you without you ever confronting them about it. I just felt like that was prophecy. Somebody's going to experience that, several somebodies. You're going to have people come to you that were opposing you, and they're going to repent for opposing you. As the Lord increases your spiritual authority, they're going to submit. They're not even going to understand why. They're just going to feel bad about what they did all of a sudden. And they're going to come to you, and they're going to just apologize. They're going to repent of it in whatever way they know how. They're going to repent of the wrong that they've done to you. As the Lord increases your spiritual authority, God increase our authority, not for our sakes, but for the sake of all of those who will benefit as darkness is displaced by light, as fear is displaced by love, as anxiety is replaced by peace, as sin is replaced by righteousness. God increase our authority so that this place will look like heaven just got through with it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody have a word or something you want to encourage everybody with before we jet? Awesome. I almost felt like I should say, do we have a motion to adjourn? God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. Enjoying the Lord and one another. And I'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information on the ministry of Hillside Christian Fellowship, go to our website at www.hillsidechristian.org.